The text for our consideration this morning comes to us from the first book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. When I was 9 years old, I went on a hunting trip with my dad to northern Alaska. We took a plane up to Kotzebue, which is a town just inside the Arctic Circle. We took a bush plane then out to our campsite on the Tag River. Many of you know who my dad is. He's kind of a renowned hunter in our family. And I really wanted to impress him. I wanted to show that I was a good hunter too, even though I was only 9 years old. So I went everywhere he went. I did everything he did. I ate everything he ate. I followed right behind him when I'd follow him on the trail. I'd step exactly where he was stepping. The problem was I followed him so closely, I was stepping on his heels the whole time. I think it got pretty annoying for him. So eventually he asked me to step back a little bit. But this picture of a child following in the steps of his father is the picture that Peter's giving us in our text today. I followed my dad around for a week up by the Tag River up in Alaska, but the guide that we're following today is supposed to guide us throughout our life. And these footsteps, of course, is Christ. Imagine for a second that you're that 9-year-old version of me following my dad in Alaska. When you're following someone around in a dangerous place like that, you need to be careful of where you're going. You need to be aware of where your guide is guiding you. If we are to follow Christ, as Peter says in our text, then we should examine Christ's footsteps. We should see how he avoided those spiritual quicksands and cliffs of the spiritual world here on earth. Now, Jesus was not some perfect robot. He was not programmed to come to earth and live a perfect life. He was fully human, just as we are. We read in Galatians that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus had to humble himself. He had to come down to our level so that he could save us. This was part of the price of our salvation. Jesus had to be the perfect sacrifice. Now there are two parts to that. It was not just the sacrifice that he made, it was also that he had to be perfect. It was just as important that he had to be perfect. The justice of God requires that perfect sacrifice. In my last chapel, we studied the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan because Jesus had to go through those temptations and all the rest of the temptations of his life in order to save us. And make no mistake, these were very real temptations for Jesus. How easy it would have been for Jesus to turn those stones into bread to fill his empty stomach, or to jump off the temple and get the praise and adoration of his nation, the nation of Israel, or to bow down and worship Satan in order to get all the people of the world as Satan promised him. But that would have been the easy thing to do, and Jesus didn't do the easy thing. He took the hard way, the hard path. He always had to in order to endure those temptations for you. He went through many temptations throughout his life, but he never gave in. Verse 22 of our text reads, Jesus committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. We call this Jesus' active obedience, never giving in to temptation, never taking the easy way, never doing what he was not supposed to, and always doing what God wanted him to. Jesus always feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things, and he always loved his neighbor, you and me, above himself. This is the example that Peter sets before us in our text today. This is the example that we are to follow. Here's some rather impressive footsteps for us. Some big shoes we have to fill. So how do you match up? Well, examine yourself in the same way that we examined Christ. How many temptations have you faced today or this past weekend? How many of those temptations have you overcome? Have you even been faithful? Have you even been unloving towards someone this lately? Jesus always and only had loving thoughts toward all mankind. Have you grown overly concerned, worrying about things that only God can truly do anything about? Jesus always had perfect trust in God, fully revealing and fully believing that God would work out all things for His good. Have you had sinful thoughts of greed or lust or covetousness? Because Jesus always trusted that God would do what was right. He was always content that God had everything in control. When we hold ourselves up to this example, we see that we humans fall terribly short. On our own, we can't live as Christ did. The Apostle Paul tells us of his struggle going on in our hearts in Galatians. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want to do. There's this constant war going on inside of you. Your new man, who wants to do what God commands you, and your old Adam, who wants to please itself and make itself happy. While we are still here on earth, we can always expect this struggle to go on and on. No matter how long or how hard it rages, it will never stop. We can never be wholly sanctified here on earth. Paul again tells us, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." Jesus lived a perfect life. From the Bible, we learn that we can't live a perfect life. In our hearts, we know that we haven't lived a perfect life. So how can we hope to follow in these steps? It's as though someone told you to follow in the footsteps of Michael Phelps. Since he won 18 Olympic medals, so can you. Or as if someone said, "Watch this video of Usain Bolt running 100 meters in 9.58 seconds. See those footsteps he ran? That's how you do it. Now you go." If we can't even hope to compare to these earthly men, how can we compare to Jesus, the perfect God-man? Why does Paul tell us to do something we can't do? And the answer is that Christ has already done it for us. 1 John 2:5 and 6 reads, "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked." Throughout his life, Christ relied on the word of God as his rule and guide to life. So we, by abiding in the word of God, are following in Christ's footsteps. Christ gave us the word of God so that we could see those quicksands and cliffs of sin in the world. He told us that he who abides in my word is my disciple indeed. Christ blazed the trail through this jungle of life using the word of God right here as a machete to clear the way for us. He gave us this Bible as a map so that we can follow him as a tool to avoid the traps of the devil. All those years ago in Kotzebue, I have a distinct memory of going off the trail a little bit and slipping and falling on a wet log. I hit my knee pretty hard. Jesus has not promised that we will not run into our fair share of troubles in this life. He told his disciples in the book of John, "In the world you will have tribulation. We will run into our fair share of bumps and bruises." But Jesus also told his disciples, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." From eternity, our Heavenly Father called us and set us on the trail before the foundation of the world. Jesus went before us and blazed the trail so that we can follow his example in walking in righteousness and abiding in the word of God. And we have the promise that this lifelong, grueling trail that we follow will come to a glorious, dazzling end in heaven. Thanks be to God for Christ's trail of grace. Amen. We'll conclude this morning by singing hymn 433, verses 1 through 4.